Melech Olam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. Amen. Good morning. I know this is Christmas Eve, so you were expecting somebody in a red suit and saying, ho, ho, ho. Well, I know I may be disappointing you. I'm Joseph, and this is about the only time of year I get called. I appear all over the world in manger scenes. I'm always standing. I look a little bit like a wimp. You know, somebody who's in the background and who never does anything. And I think that's partly because there isn't that much in the scriptures that tells about me. But I was told that your pastor last week spoke about Mary, my wife. And I thought you'd like to hear some of my story, too. People think that I was meek and mild. But, you know, they're wrong. I was a carpenter. A carpenter was a person who worked with his hands. We had to work hard. I'm not trying to brag, but I could probably have beaten most of the men that I knew in arm wrestling. My day. I wasn't anything special. And you might say, well, you're not a prophet, you're not an apostle, so what do you have to say for yourself? And this morning I want to tell you my story, because my story really is a story of love. It's a love story. And I know you'll probably think, oh, well, love, that's a weak thing. No, you'd be wrong. You need to know a little bit about me. I was born in Bethlehem. I didn't start in Nazareth. Nobody really wanted to go to Nazareth, and so you probably wonder how I ended up there. Well, it was work. I was able to get work there, and that was what I needed. And it was there, of course, that I met Mary. And that's really the biggest part of, I guess, my story of love. But before I start, I need to tell you something. I don't think that you people know that much about love. I've been watching, and yeah, I know there's a lot that people say about love. They talk about love in songs and in movies and their books. You know, these stories that are filled with mush and goo, and it feels so good and it's so wonderful, but that isn't love. I mean, you may think that's love, but for me, as a carpenter, a lot of what people think of love today is what I would call veneer. You know, it looks like the real thing, but it's not. I liked working with wood. I liked the feel of it. I loved the sturdiness of it. And that's what love is. So, my story, a love story. Let me tell you about how Mary and I met. I don't know. I think that if people think about falling in love with a girl, the first thing they would mention is that she was so beautiful. And Mary was beautiful. In fact, let me tell you, just in my view, I think Jewish girls are the most beautiful girls in the world. But we have a proverb that says, beauty and charm are not things that last, but a fear of God. That kind of a woman is a woman who will be praised. And Mary was that kind of a woman. Now, she was only just over 15 when I got to know her. And I know you're thinking that's awful young. But in our culture, young men, we grew up with one thing in mind, and that was we wanted to be prepared to be able to provide for our wife and our family. And girls grew up with one thing in mind, and that was that they wanted to be prepared to be able to be a wife and a mother. And so it was that in our culture, it was not odd. Mary, she had a combination of joy, that kind of sparkle that she gave off. And at the same time, she had the deepest sense of awe and worship of the Lord. She had a humility. I'm sure she could have flaunted all of her beauty and her charm, but she didn't. She was more focused on the Lord. Now, if it had been today, you probably would have asked her to go out to dinner or to a movie or something. But in our day, we didn't do that. I got to know her, and as I got to know her, well, women have a way of letting you know that they like being with you. And so we had started to, like, I'm not saying that she flirted. She never did that. She was very receptive and responsive, and I got to know her family. I got to know her father, and we talked, and after we talked, then plans were made. We had a ceremony in our day, Kiddushin. We call it a betrothal. I made a small ring for Mary, and at this ceremony, I gave it to her, and she accepted it. And from that point on, we were betrothed. And in our culture, that was as serious as if you got married. Although you went back to your own home after it was done. See, kiddushin, it's something you need to understand. Our word kodesh, a holy thing, a kodesh thing, was something that was set apart in the temple, and the priest would have that, or it would be for one special use. And after betrothal, the woman was set apart from all other men to her husband, even though they weren't married. And so, as we moved on from that day, Mary and I, we spent time every day talking about our lives and about our future. I know we used to love to talk about the home that I was going to build, that we would live in and we would raise our family in. It was a real dream come true. You know, sometimes dreams have ways of turning into nightmares. And mine did. It started so suddenly, just one day. Mary was withdrawn from me. She was normally so buoyant, and this day she was quiet and seemed shy, and and reclusive, and I pressed her on it, and she said, I can't talk about it. It tormented me that afternoon. I remember thinking, you know the way we men do. We always want to work something out. And so I thought, well, had I said something that had offended her? I could not think of anything. I wondered, maybe did her parents decide that they didn't want me for their daughter? But they had been entirely receptive. There was one thought. I wondered if they had checked at the temple and had found that there was some reason why we could not marry. Perhaps that we were too closely related or something. And I didn't know. But I pressed Mary on it. I begged her, please tell me. Just let me know. The hair still stands up in the back of my neck as I think of the moment when she leaned close to me. And into my ear, she said, I'm pregnant. My mouth fell open, and she immediately began to weep. Time stopped for me. I could not imagine. Nothing could seem more far-fetched than hearing what I had just heard. I knew that she loved me. I could see it in her eyes. I could hear it in her voice, even as she told me. I sensed her love, and I was a mixture of tormented and angry and frustrated, and I didn't know what to think. Who? I knew it wasn't me. What had happened? Again, I pressed her. The questions, they caught in my throat. I didn't want to even ask them because I didn't want to know, but I had to know. Who? Who was it? She told me of an angel appearing to her, telling her that she, a woman from of no royal background, no wealth, no position, a woman from a second-rate town, she was going to bear the Messiah. Our people, our Messiah, would be born by her, and that the Holy Spirit would put the child there. Now I was really angry. You would be too. A story like that, I know you're thinking, hadn't you heard the Christmas story? No, I hadn't heard the Christmas story. And that was why, when she said that, I thought, now, that is the worst story I've ever heard. You could think of something better than that. If you want to hide, at least, thought of my reputation. I had built my business in Nazareth, and people knew me and trusted me. And you know, we have a saying. We all have sayings, but we Jews have sayings for everything. And we have a saying that God created the nations. Man created the city. But the devil created the small town. Because in the small town, everybody knows everybody. and everybody knows everything about everybody. And so I knew Mary was going to start to show, and then they would look at me, and what was I going to say? The same story? Through this all, I want you to know that I still loved Mary. I loved her very much. I never lost my love for her, but I could not see any other way. I decided that I would divorce her. I know you're thinking you weren't even married, but again, in our culture, in order for a betrothal to be broken, it took a serious act, sometimes open court with witnesses. And I decided, no, I won't do that. I'll do it quietly. I don't want her to be harmed any more than she already will be. I had a hard time talking with Mary those few days. Up until that moment, we had almost been inseparable every moment we could. And now, all of a sudden, I just couldn't be with her. And she told me that she was going to go away down south to visit her relatives. And, well, I knew why. As soon as she started the show, people would talk. So I guess what better than to get out of town? And it was better for me. I knew that when she returned, she would be obviously pregnant then. And so I thought, well, I just put her away quietly while she was gone. Now I know you. You all know this story. So I'll recount it. She had gone, and I had a dream. And in my dream, an angel appeared to me. Joseph was as real as if he was standing in front of me. And in the vision, he said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child that she has is there because of the Holy Spirit. And you will call his name Yeshua. Jesus. Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. I awoke from my dream that night with questions, but also with relief. And then my relief by the middle of the morning had burst into joy. I was so happy. My love for Mary would not have to be something I would put away. And I packed my things and I headed south. It was almost 80 miles and I made it in just over 3 days. And I found her relatives. And I burst in. They knew already about it. And I told Mary about my dream. And we fell into each other's arms. Both of us deeply in love and yet filled with questions. I know I've been asked many times, did you ever think that maybe you just had a dream because you loved Mary so much, you really wanted what she had told you to be true? Yeah, I thought that. But my love for her and seeing her sincerity, we decided that we would go ahead and get married. We returned to Nazareth together. We got married in a very quiet ceremony. But I I swear to you, I never touched her until after the birth of Jesus. I kept her pure. You know, the best love stories are not the stories that are just all wonderful and everything is working out. The best love stories, you know it, from the fairy tales, all of the fairy tales, and all of the best love stories are stories of love that overcome trials, that overcome hardships, that overcome burdens and hurdles that would have stood in the way of that love relationship working out. But against all odds, it worked out. Well, that's our love story for you. We were in Nazareth and Mary was showing and people could do the math. We were married, but it hadn't been that long. And there were the rumors, the whispers. I tell you some of the things that were said about her and about me. They were pretty awful. My business suffered. And then, just when you think that things can't get any worse, it was the 9th month of Mary's pregnancy, and word came cascading down across all of the Roman Empire from Caesar Augustus, who felt like he needed more money from taxes. And so he needed to have a census taken of every person in the empire. It was a massive undertaking. And every one of us had to go to the city from our birth. We had to register. We had been born there, and now this is where we are. And I had to go back to Bethlehem, and I was torn. What should I do? Should I take Mary with me? I mean, on one hand, it was a long and arduous journey. Not for you today, but for us. Trying to hike through rough terrain 20 miles every day for 4 days is not something that most women in the 9th month of pregnancy want to do. But then I thought to myself, could that be any worse? Could it be any worse than leaving her alone in Nazareth to try to deal with all of the people who were gossiping and slandering her as the day of birth approached? So we agreed she would come. It was a long journey. It was hard, but we were together. In fact, that's the one thing that I'm trying to tell you, is that this love story was a story that grew. It didn't fade. It seemed like every time there was something that would knock it down, it grew stronger. I had family in Bethlehem, so I thought that for sure when I got to Bethlehem that some of my family members could take me in. But when we got even close to the city, it was overflowing. The field where the caravans set up their tents was filled, overflowing. Nobody had any room. David had a whole lot of descendants, and Bethlehem was the town of David. And then Mary leaned over to me and said, "I'm starting to have cramps." Now, I knew what she meant. It was my first time, but I knew. She was saying, "It's coming now." And I was frantic. What could I do? And I remember from my boyhood, I remembered that that outside of town there were some caves. And so I helped her, and we walked outside of town around to the backside of a hill, and there there was a cave that was being used by a farmer. In the bad weather, he would keep some of his livestock there, and he said that we could use it, and it stunk of urine, of manure, and of sheep. And I'm not sure which one of those three is worse, but that's where Jesus was born. I barely knew enough to cut the cord. Mary she held Jesus in her arms and she looked at him, and it was so loving. Then when she started to get tired and to fall asleep, I took Jesus. I was getting tired too. Where could I put him? The only place besides the stinking floor was a trough where you feed the animals. So that's where he was laid. Another time I may tell you about the shepherds. It was interesting. We didn't know exactly what to think of this. It was wonderful that we had visitors that night. When you're tired and you've just given birth, I know that I'm sure every woman here, just after you give birth, would love to have some strangers arrive in your room who smell really bad. But we were happy. We were happy because they said that they had seen angels who announced to them the birth. It confirmed for us my faith. Some days I believed my doubts, and some days I doubted my beliefs. But that night, those shepherds, who could believe a shepherd? But it was a confirmation for us. And so we stayed in Bethlehem, and I started picking up some work as a carpenter. We never had anything. We just lived basically hand to mouth. And there were days when we were very hungry. But we were eking our existence. We got a small home that we stayed in. And it was months later that we had another visit. And this was from the astrologers. You call them the wise men from the East. These people looked at the stars. These people studied ancient manuscripts. And they had come hundreds of miles. We thought it was really interesting. If this really was the King of the Jews, the Messiah, why didn't somebody from Jerusalem come down? But instead it was somebody from hundreds of miles away from another country who made their way. And wow, we were stunned. They brought wonderful gifts. They worshipped my son Jesus as the King of the Jews, and laid gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were priceless things for us. We could not believe that they were giving them to us. But, you know, life has a way of the things that may seem like a blessing one day may not seem that way the next. And those wise men, evidently, they had come and they had asked in Jerusalem, they had asked King Herod where the king of the Jews was. And Herod, well, Herod had mental problems. He was very afraid of everybody, anybody who might threaten his throne. He had put to death his own brothers and sisters who might somehow take the throne from him. So it was another angel. I was ready to listen to them now. And this angel came to me just a night or two later and said, "Get up and go immediately. Leave to another country, to Egypt, because Herod is coming for your son." We didn't know, but Herod had decided that in order to make sure that whoever the king of the Jews that was born was, he was going to kill all the babies in Bethlehem. And so we escaped and we left in the middle of the night. It was a long journey again to Egypt. And we lived as refugees there. We would have starved to death if it were not for the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh that we had been given. More than a year later, a caravan arrived and one of the men that mentioned, I overheard him saying that Herod had died. I thought about that when I had another dream and the angel said, "Return. The one who was trying to take the child's life is no longer there." And so we returned, and we were going to return to Bethlehem, but then I had another dream that said, "No, don't go there, because Herod's son is on the throne, and you never know. He was crazy too." So we went back to Nazareth. And you know, people don't forget small towns either. So once again, the whispers, the mocking. As Jesus was growing up, he had to put up with that too. And I could tell you much more here. But you know most of this story. And the interesting thing is that I wasn't there for any of the teaching of Jesus, any of his miracles. I died before then. Mary was there. Her love was strong, and our love, which had been strong, had marked our family. What is a great man? You may have your definition of a great man. Here is mine. A great man is a man who loves his wife and his family. So even though I was nothing, even though I just am a man who stands in the background of a manger scene, and that's virtually all that people know, I marked my children. I marked my son Jesus. I marked all of our family because I loved their mother. And our love for each other flowed to our family. I'm not saying that we were perfect. I'm not going to tell you all of the things that, I mean, you know, children, they don't get along all the time. And we had some of those things. And I made my mistakes as a father too. But what I want you to know this morning is that my Christmas story is a story of love. And even though I wasn't there, it was for Mary too. I told you that love grows strong through hardships and trials, and Mary experienced those with Jesus. He was mocked, She was there. She was there as they arrested him and beat him and spit on him. She had to watch him die. And you know, in a way, I guess that it was at that moment that she saw his love and her love grew so much. Because a few days later, when Jesus rose from the dead and all of the agony and the tears that love had been eclipsed by gave way to joy and hope, why, that love suddenly took on a new meaning. It wasn't just our love. It wasn't the love of our family or Mary and me. But the real Christmas story was the story of God's love. He was the one who orchestrated everything. The angels had come. The angels had given the messages. The angels had guided and guarded. And then it had come to this: a death on a cross. Tears. And then resurrection and joy. Well, that's my Christmas story. You know, we have an end to fairy tales. How many fairy tales do you know that end with these words, "and they lived happily ever after"? It's not true. It's not true here. You see, our problem is that when we read fairy tales or when we read those wonderful love stories like Cinderella, all of these stories of Sleeping Beauty, and then she comes to life. I just want you to know, our problem is just that we want to live happily ever after right now. And in this life, it doesn't always work out that way. I'm not saying that isn't true. You see, living happily ever after, what that really is talking about is living happily forever after this life is through. My life, it's a love story, yes. But it was filled with hardships and trials, rejection and mocking, and pain and struggles. But now, I'm living happily ever after. And you might be thinking, well, how do you live happily ever after? Well, that's really what Christmas was all about. See, it's actually not just my love story, it's God's love story. God so loved the world that He gave His Son, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall live happily ever after, have eternal life. And that's the story of Christmas. God didn't want us to be alone. God didn't want us to live without hope. And so He sent His Son, and in love He gave His Son, and His Son died for our sin. He rose from the dead. It was all just as the angel had said. Do you have room for Him? Can you make room for Him? Do you believe? Let's pray. O Lord our God, blessed are you, King of the universe. O Lord, thank you for the gift of your love. Love that filled Mary and me. Love that flowed from us to our family. Love that Jesus allowed to flow through him as he gave his life. And then your love demonstrated by offering your Christmas gift of eternal life to all who will believe. Lord God, thank you for your Christmas love story.